Your wife is not a separate person now. You're not building a life for two, husband, wife. You're not building a life for two. You're building a life for one because God has made you one flesh. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good Sunday morning and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his series in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. Pastor is entitled today's study, Submission in Marriage, the Husband. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Okay, and when you take it and you do what he says in his word, it changes everything in your life, in the husband's life, in the wife's life, even in the children's life, even in the everything changes when you obey the living word of God. Now, we know that we obey, for example, the laws of the land. We submit unto the human agencies, the governmental agencies that pass laws and all of that, long as they don't contradict the word of God. And we've studied that out. We've studied out about slaves and wives being submissive to their husbands, all the things. Now, this morning, we're going to leave behind the woman that we was with last Sunday who was married to a man. And during that marriage, we don't know exactly when, but during the process of marriage, she became a Christian. But her husband did not become a Christian, and we studied that all out, okay? Now, this morning, we're going to do something different, and I want you to listen to me, guys. I'm a guy too, okay? I'm a man. I'm a husband. I'm married. I believe with all of my heart. No, I know with all of my heart that this might be, this is going to be, okay, the most important sermon on marriage concerning you and your wife, I believe in the Word of God. That's how powerful verse 7 is. It is a revolutionary scripture when acted upon and when truly believed by two Christians. We're talking about two Christian wives, Christian husbands this morning. When believed, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your marriage if you put this one scripture into practice. Now, remember last Sunday, I made a couple of comments. I don't want to say them again. It says what I said last Sunday. I said, success in marriage is not finding the right person, but becoming the right person. Amen? And then I said something in a negative way, but it's very important. I said the fact that a Christian man and a Christian woman, meaning they're both saved, that is no guarantee that their marriage will succeed. There's no guarantee there unless you're obedient to the one who created you and created marriage. Amen? See, God, he knows what marriage is supposed to be, for he created marriage. Now, so it's very important that we understand that. Every Christian, listen, a Christian should never say, never, and I really mean this, should never say, well, I believe marriage should be this way or that way. Now, I'm a Christian and I believe, well, grandpa told me it was this way, and mama and daddy this way. That's wonderful, and I respect what they said. However, you should not ever say, I believe like that. What you should say to yourself is this, and to anyone else, only the Bible and not any other book on the planet, only the Bible tells me what marriage is and what my wife's role is and what my role is. Amen? I do not define marriage. Husband, you, wife, you do not define what marriage is. The world does not define what marriage is. Over 70% in America, do you know that over 70% of couples, and that includes Christian couples, they live together without the benefit of marriage. Then they get married. Listen, that's not what God teaches in his word, amen? So before us is a very profound scripture about marriage, loved one. Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, it is only the Christian who truly understands marriage. You cannot understand marriage unless you are a Christian. That's a good word. Amen. So let's begin, and we're going to break down every word because every word is important in our text. It starts out like this, and we're talking about submission this morning, but men, we're talking about your submission to the wife. Ooh, that's going to blow you away, isn't it? I knew you loved it immediately. I felt it. I felt the love. Verse 7, husbands, likewise. That's where we're going to stop. What does likewise mean? We've been covering likewise all through the scriptures here with submission. So what that word does, it continues, if you will, the theme of submission, which began all the way back in chapter 2, verse 11, when we learn that we are to live a certain way before unbelievers because they are watching us. Amen? And we're to submit to that. Not only that, we learned in 2:13, we are to submit to the governing authorities. And then in 2:18, slaves are to submit. This is a command, submit to your master, whether it's he's good or harsh or whatnot. And then, of course, in chapter 3, verse 1, we learned last Sunday about wives being submissive to their husbands. Now we move to us, men, the husband, okay? So it says there in verse 7 that this is going to teach us about the husband's submission to his wife. I love to say that because it just rattles guys, you know what I mean? So don't shut me down. Don't do that because, see, Bill, I know right now you're going, I'm the head of the house. I am the head of the house. You know what I mean? I mean, you got that down, you know? Yes, you are. But where did you get that authority from? Did it come from you? Did it come from your wife? Did it come from your father? Yeah, your father in heaven. In other words, you have a delegated authority, and your husband, the men, women, you're both equal in God's eyes. You just have different functions, different roles. Amen? Very, very important. Stay in your role. That's what God created you to do. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. They're both equal in the eyes of Almighty God. So with all of that being said, you're probably saying, hey, Bill, submission to my wife, what in the world are you talking about? Because I've never heard that taught from the pulpit at all. Well, I'm glad you asked. Hold your place and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And when you get to chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 18, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, very important scripture. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye filled, or literally soaked, be ye filled, or that word is pleroo in the Greek, so it means filled, overflowing with the Spirit. Now, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. So that means you can be flooded, filled, soaked with the Spirit every day. Lord, fill me. You commanded me to be filled with the Spirit. Your commandments are always my enablements. Amen? So we could do that. So, and right there, loved one, that's where marriage really, in a way, starts. The reason I say that is because here, obedience in verse 18, in other words, a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led husband and wife, they love the Lord and so forth. Don't you think they should manifest in their marriage, verse 21? Look at verse 21 with me. I'm going to be quoting from the King James Version. It says, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of God. Now, you know that I've always taught, you've heard me say that, that is mutual submission, okay? In other words, where it's not the husband's will, it's not the wife's will, it is both of you agreeing with God's will and putting that practice into your home, into your marriage, into your life, into your walk, amen? Now, so Ephesians 5:21, and so some of you may be saying, especially online, you may be saying, well, Bill, now listen, Ephesians 5:21, you know, your study here is a little bit off because it's addressed to every believer, every believer. And what the person, if you're thinking that, then what you're really saying is, why are you in verse 21 when really you need to be in verse 22? Look at verse 22. What does it say? And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you know, if I know a husband, he probably says, I've memorized that verse. It actually, he could say, it's my life verse. I have it in my office. I have it on the bedroom wall. I have it on the kitchen refrigerator right there. I even have it on the supper table. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the problem with this right here is that it's not correct. And that's where everybody gets confused. See, love, listen to me now. Marriage, God's way, does not begin in verse 22. But if you're in your Bible, you'll look, it's like verse 21 is pushed way over there, and there's a whole new heading about wives and husbands now. And so it looks like that's separate. But love one, that's not true. It doesn't begin in verse 22. It begins in verse 21. And the reason I say that is because in verse 22, the word submit does not appear in the actual original Greek text, okay? It's not there. So it would actually read, wives, well, let me read it again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. Doesn't the word submit's not in the original, the oldest original text. It's not there. Now, so what does that mean? It means that you're trying to make verse 22 stand all by itself, but verse 22 can't stand by itself. It needs verse 21. Does that make sense? So that word submit there, very important. It connects that from verse 21 to verse 22. So what does that mean? Well, let me back up. That word in 22, submit, was supplied by the translators. Now, that's why we get in trouble sometimes. We should have just left it the way it was. So, again, verse 21 is the beginning of the marriage right there. Husbands, wives, submitting yourselves. You're now one, okay? Submitting yourselves one to another. And you do it in the fear of the Lord. You both love the Lord. And my husband would never ask me to do anything that the word says not to do, vice versa. It's no longer the couple's will. It's both of them saying, I want one thing. I want the will of God in my marriage, in my home, and in my life because he died for me. And this is a command, not an option. Amen? Okay, so that's where we start. So husbands, it is mutual submission, not I'm a dictator, I'm a bully, you're going to do what I say no matter what. No. And you're also to submit something else, husbands. It tells us in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love, or that word is agape in the Greek. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Did you know that's a command? That is a sacrificial love that says this, I love you unconditionally. And I would even give my life for your life. I would take your place. I would die in your stead. I'm going to tell you something. There is not a greater submission than to die for somebody else. Amen? To say, you live, I'm going to die. And you know what? When you think about submission, the greatest act of submission in the universe was the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of the living God submitting to the will of the Father. Amen? To go to the cross for man's greatest need, not his need, man's greatest need. He willingly went to the cross for you and me and paid for the sins of the world. He submitted to the need of mankind, and yet he was without sin. So if it says in chapter 2:21 that Jesus has left us an example that we should follow in his steps, amen? Okay, so we are to do those things. Now, look at verse 7 again. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, meaning your wife, with understanding. So let's look at that word dwell. That word dwell is an interesting word. It's deeper than I live at the same address. We both live at the same address, or we both sleep in the same bedroom, in the same bed, or we both eat at the supper table together. It's deeper than that. This word dwell literally means to live with, to be at home with, very, very deep. In other words, a life at home in relationship with your wife. And you say, well, now, Bill, you know what? I work like a dog all day long. I come home, I'm worn out. Man, I am stressed, and I certainly come home and live with my wife. Well, then what do you do, husband? I say this in love. What do you do when you get home? Well, I'm stressed. Well, how do you relieve your stress? Do you go hug your wife? Do you say, honey, you're beautiful. I need to work off this stress. I'm going to chase you around the house. Is that how you do it? No, you go over to that younger guy's. I don't know how to do it. I don't ever done this. But you get over that. It's called something where you play those video games. I'm reducing my stress. I'm killing people. That's pretty tough. And then after you kill a bunch of people, you feel better and you go, hey, what's for dinner? That's really communicating. Yeah, oh, this side identified. Yeah, and so there you go and say, oh, great. Well, here, let me put this thing on hold because I'm playing people all over the world. I didn't know you could do that till a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that amazing? I'm not that I do that. I don't want to do that. But And then you go eat, and then, I feel much better. I better go check and see what's on the sports channel. I love messing with you like that. No, is that living together? Well, I work hard, Bill. You're a pastor. You work one day a week. What do you know? Well, do you think that your wife married you for your paycheck? My wife married me. I didn't even have a job. It's a true word. I didn't have a job, man. Listen, I read a story. Actually, it was yesterday. It really moved me. A well-known pastor actually was giving a funeral to a 40-year-old woman, a wife, who had died. And the husband, of course, was there. And as the funeral continued toward the end, the husband just, he broke down and just started weeping uncontrollably. And he told the pastor, he said unto him, he said, listen, my wife, I gave my wife everything. Everything money could buy. I gave my wife everything, but I didn't give her myself. I never gave her my attention. I never gave her my time. I didn't give her my ear. I didn't listen to. I did not do any of those things. Husbands, I want you to listen to me now. Sharing life with your wife. Life. A to B, birth to death, okay? Life. It can't be replaced. Did you know that? If you don't spend time with your wife, it goes by and it's gone. And you need to spend time with your wife. That's why you are married to her. So the word dwell there is deeper than being under the same roof. It means that you're living in a very close, loving, sensitive relationship. And that is what's called life together. You're planning together. You're praying together. You're playing together. You spend a lifetime building a life, a whole lifetime working together. Isn't that something? So the first thing that you do, and you say, well, how do you do it? Well, if I'm going to dwell with this woman forever, do you think you might want to get to know her? Because if you think you know her before you marry her, and wife, if you think you know that man that you're married before you get married, no, you didn't know he was a slob. And you didn't know that the bathroom would never be yours, men. Yeah, I mean, you go in there and you go, what is all this? It's like a pharmacy with all the cosmetics and, I mean, you know, curling irons. And you go, what is that? I thought it was a torture instrument or something. I mean, think about it. You see things that you've never seen. You know, starting to pluck a little eyebrow or something around here. Oh, I don't want to be in this bathroom. No, listen. So what do? If you're going to spend a lifetime with your wife, and that's what God wants you to do, you have to do two things. It says to dwell with your wife, and there's a wonderful word. It says with understanding. Now, that means two things. Number one, you understand what the biblical role of marriage is. You go to the Bible and you understand your role, you understand how to love your wife, and you put all those things into practice. You understand the purpose of marriage God's way. You get that into your heart. Now, you know that God created marriage. He created male and female. He created Adam and he created Eve. How did he make Eve, or build Eve, actually, in the Hebrew? He took the rib from Adam. Remember, put him to sleep, took the rib, and he built woman and brought her to Adam. And when Adam saw her, what did he do? I mean, the moment he saw her, his eyes went, oh, my gosh. Remember, he was naming animals before? And he sees his wife, he goes, whoa, man. But think about that for a moment. And so he goes, I mean, he's on fire when he does this. He goes, oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, what does he mean? It means that when he first saw his wife, he saw her not as someone separate from himself, but from himself, meaning one. Amen? Oh, listen, men, listen to me now. Your wife is not a separate person now. You're not building a life for two, husband, wife. You're not building a life for two. You're building a life for one because God has made you one flesh. Amen? That's important. If you don't see yourself that way, then you don't have a biblical view of marriage. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives. Now listen how you are to love your own wife as their own bodies. Can you believe that? In other words, do you love your body? Huh? You don't smack yourself around or anything, do you? No. You take care of your body. You love your body. You don't want it to be hurting or any of those things. So you love your, it says, is your own body's. Why? It says, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but what does he do? He nourishes, cherishes it. Now listen carefully. Just as the Lord does the church. And then Paul, the apostle, says, for we are members, okay, of his body, Jesus' body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Not one spirit, one flesh. Do you understand? When God sees you both, he sees you as one. That's the miracle of the marriage covenant. You're not one until God pronounces you man and wife. That's whenever I do a wedding, I always tell them, like if we do the communion, I say, listen, well, I'm going to do the communion before we get married. I said, no, we're going to do the communion after you're made one. And then you guys are going to do something. You're going to take your very first steps. You've never done it before. This is brand new. You're going to take your very first steps toward the Lord's table. Amen? Think about that. Now they are walking as one together to the Lord. And that's what this means. You are one flesh, loved one. Now, that's the first thing, to dwell with your wife with understanding. The second part of it, to dwell with your wife with understanding, means this. It means that you better get to know your wife. It means you better be a student of your wife. Why? Because God tells you to. Listen, women are different. No, I say that lovingly. They're different. Everything about a woman is different, man. And it says, dwell, live in the same house all through your life, but do so with understanding. What does that mean? It means that you need to learn, truly learn, your wife's emotional makeup. What does she really like? See, before you get married and you're dating or whatever, courting, you know, you think she likes everything about you. She doesn't. And the moment she gets you that ring, it's going to be, you're going to change, boy. Do you understand? So you got to get it right. And so, listen, so the thing is, you got to start learning about her. She's smooth. She really is smooth. Amen? So you learn her likes, you learn her dislikes, and that takes communication. It takes that you talk with your wife. You talked with her before you got married, on the phone, you did everything, right? I mean, listen, when you fall in love, you talk all night on the phone. Oh, I love you. I can't, you know. Then you get married and you quit talking. Well, that's not marriage. You have to open your mouth and talk. You have to know what she likes and what she doesn't like. In other words, you should be able to come home from the office, work, whatever, college, whatever you do if you're married. Either one of you. But let's talk, we're talking about husbands. And you walk into that door and you look at her and you know immediately whether you should run or stay. You know if she's had a bad day or a good day, you know that look. Or when she doesn't look up at you, you know then there is something wrong. But that's when you go over to your wife and you say, I know something's wrong and I know you're going through something. And I see that hurt look on your face and I know what that means. And you minister to her. You love her. Amen? See, that's really being the spiritual head of your home. You see her need. She's fearfully, she's wonderfully made. Now, with all that being said, you learn those things about your wife. You know, my wife loves animals. She loves birds. She loves cats, either wild or tame. She loves them. We have bird stuff all over the backyard, and she sits and just, she's happier looking than me. But I sit with her, and I'm happy too, but I'm not. I go, oh, look at that. Is that a red-throated hummingbird? Oh, it must have come down from Wisconsin or something. You know, hummingbird, we have a glass door in the backyard, you know, so they can fly and hit it, you know. So this hummingbird flew and hit it, knocked out, passed out. She goes out there, picks that hummingbird up, and starts petting it. She's tears or all that stuff, and I'm watching her. I said, you don't do that to me. You know, she's petting that thing and all of that. And then all of a sudden it looks up and it stood up in her hand and looked her, this is a true story, right in her face and flew away. The next day we were outside and you know what that hummingbird did? The same one. Flew right up into her face. I'm sure he smiled, but I don't think so. And it was like, thank you for saving me. You understand? So I don't know why I'm telling you all that. But it's getting to know your wife, all right? Now listen to me, guys. This is so important. If you're married, you're going to spend the rest of your life with your wife. Amen? So husbands, listen. That means that your relationship with your wife, and it could be both of you, of course, but we're talking about husbands. Your relationship with your wife is the most important human relationship you will ever have in your life. Because you're one. You've been made one together, your husband and wife. Now listen, here's what's wonderful. See, God is not commanding us in this scripture, men, to understand all women. Hello. Isn't that great? I mean, who understands a woman anyway? Now, I love you, but I'm just being honest. No, God is not commanding you to understand all women. He's asking you to understand only one woman on the face of the earth, and that's your wife and loved one. Let me tell you something, that is enough right there, okay? So you do that. We say, well, Bill, how? Well, men, let's be men for a moment. If I wanted to know everything, you know, I've been looking at trucks lately. You know that, Mario. We've been talking. Used truck. Powerful, though. I don't care if it's a gas guzzler. If I wanted to know everything about a 2024, a Dodge Ram truck, would I call the Ford Motor Company? Why? They build trucks. Why would I not call Ford? Because Ford didn't create the Dodge Ram. Amen? Okay, but if I call the Dodge Ram, the creator, could they tell me everything about that truck? All, you know, this color, whatever. Yeah, they could tell me everything. Well, listen, concerning your wife, if you really want to understand her, go to the one who made her. You get into God's word and you look it up and you learn how to love your wife the right way. And here's one of the best ways. Look what it says now. It says you dwell with her with understanding, okay? And now it says giving honor to the wife, husbands, as to the weaker vessel. The word giving means to assign a place or give a portion. In other words, you are to, this is a command, to honor your wife. Now, boy, you do that, you're really dwelling with your wife with understanding because she needs that or God would not tell us to do it. Okay, so the word honor here in the Greek is the same word used in 1:19, in 1 Peter 1:19, when it talks about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the word precious means highly valued. Is the blood of Jesus highly valued? Is it of great worth? Okay, well, the same word used there in 1:19 is the exact same word used right here. So it means that you are to highly value your wife, you are to greatly respect her, and she is of great worth. It means that if you're going to respect your wife, that do you still open the door for her? The car door? Do you still open the door? If you don't, what happened to you? You know, a lot of you, you've been in my office for counseling, for premarital counseling. You come in and I have to correct you because you're all over each other. You know, I mean, you're almost sitting in each other's lap. And, you know, I'm trying to counsel you, but you're looking in each other's eyes. And I'm going, stop kissing. You can't do that in my office. You're not married yet. Let's talk about it. I'm not talking about kissing. Get away from each other. So I go through all that. They come back 6 months later. They're mad at each other. I see him getting out of the car, and he doesn't open the door. He didn't even open the office door for her. Well, he couldn't anyway. It's locked. But, you know, he could try. They sit in my office. You think they're sitting like this? Oh, no. She's on one end. He's on the other. What happened? Listen, when you respect your wife, you open the door. When I was a little boy, and I don't know why I thought of this yesterday when I was working here preparing, but I remember a picture in my first grade class of, his name was Sir Walter Raleigh, okay? And he, remember the picture if you've ever seen, he takes off his cloak and he puts it over a puddle of water to allow Queen Elizabeth I to walk across without getting her feet wet. That's called, it was called the code of conduct then. It was called, starts with a C, chivalry, okay? And you know what? That's a good thing to be respectful I've opened the door the other day for a woman. She went through and she said, "Your mama taught you right." I said, "That's him." I've opened doors for women. Said, "You don't need to open the door for me. I don't need it. Why are you opening that door for me?" "Well, I'm opening it for you because I'm a gentleman. I don't know what you are, but I'm a gentleman." You know? So, now, with all of that being said here, we are to honor our wife as the weaker vessel. Now, you can get in trouble, guys, if you think that, try to put that in your own definition there. I mean, when you say, well, weaker vessel, God made women different. You know, women are, their skeleton makeup or whatever you call it, even their brain is smaller in different areas, their breathing capacity, their strength, but not all. I've seen some pretty strong women. You know, I mean, I don't want to be with my wife. I don't want to have bigger muscles than me. I mean, you know, but they're delicate. But is that really what he's talking about when he says to the weaker vessel? And the worst thing you can do is call her a weaker vessel. She doesn't like that, okay? I mean, I can't even do that kidding with Becky. See, you see the look and you know how you dwell with understanding. You know what that look means. Do you want me to slap you? You know? No, so weaker vessel here. So don't call your wife that. She's not inferior to you, all right? And she's certainly not, it's not speaking here of inferior emotionally or spiritually or intellectually or any of those things, okay? As a matter of fact, women, they're not weaker emotionally. You know, women express their feelings. Do you know it? Men, how are you doing? Fine. What's going on? I don't know. How do you feel today? I guess I'm fine. Why? What's up? Women, you ask that, you get along. How are you doing? I mean, do they talk to you? Man, they're going to tell you your feelings. Last Wednesday morning, Rhonda, you were right there. So, Sunday rather. But last Wednesday morning, I told my wife at breakfast, I said, I got so emotional in the pulpit. Remember at the very end? I said it. I get so embarrassed. I don't want to be emotional in the pulpit. I even said, Bill, you're a sissy, you know? And I said, no. And I said, but it embarrasses me. I get overcome with emotion. Sometimes I just can't control it. So I come to church, and Becky said, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I come to church Wednesday night. And so this woman walks up to me and says, Pastor Bill. I said, yeah. I said, I've been praying for you. I said, okay, thank you. No, the Lord told me this morning in my prayer time, he told me, he said, you're not to be ashamed of showing emotion. I went, now, is that God? So if I start weeping, just leave me alone. You know? No, listen, women, they're better at us when it comes to that. And they're not weaker spiritually. Man, that is a word. Listen, today in the American church, who is the backbone of the church? Yeah, women. You go over there right now. You tell me who's not working. It's women that are working. Men, where are you at? Did you know that women, Christian women today, are more likely to share Christ than the man does? You know, you stay home. Hey, I can't miss this sports game. But they come to church. There's something. So don't say that. Now, what does it really mean, husband, men, when God says, he uses the word, he says, honor them as unto the weaker vessel. Yes, physically, in some cases, of course, but that's not what it's referring to right here. In context, it means the one that you are one with, that weaker vessel, she is number one worth protecting. Amen. She's worth protecting. She is worth honoring. And she is worth cherishing because she is valuable to you. You know, you put your arms around her. You help her. You do whatever is necessary. You know what God in his word, husbands, says about your wife, the weaker vessel? Let me give you a few scriptures. It says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Say good thing. Good thing. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, who would ever, in the Bible, what's your wife? She's a good thing. That's the word of God. And then it says, listen, you find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. What does that mean? It means that woman is priceless. How about this one? Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife or a morally excellent wife is the crown of her husband. You know what God just said about a weaker vessel? He said, men, your wife is your reward. Think about that, to have a good wife. But also, a wife needs a good husband. Amen? The word vessel is a very important word. You know, listen, Let's look at this next one. Verse 7. Being heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, both of you share an equal common salvation. Amen? Yes. Listen, you're heirs together. You are both co-heirs with Christ. You're both made in the image of God. You're both one in Christ. You're both saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Spirit, all the same way. All the promises that belong to the man belong to the woman because you're all in Christ Jesus. But you're heirs together of the unmerited, unearned grace of life, meaning that eternal life is a gift from God. Amen? And you have that. See, your wife, husband, wife, listen, you are spiritual equals in the eyes of Almighty God. Let me give you the scripture, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither slave, free, there's neither male, female. You are all, male, female, whatever, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Did you know that right there is another proof text that explains why a Christian should never, ever marry a person who is not a Christian, okay? Because there's no way that they can be both together, one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, remember the old Puritan, what he said? He says, if you are a child of God and you marry a child of the devil, you will be sure to have trouble with your father-in-law. That kind of went over your head, didn't it? Right. Now, Peter's going to close here. He's going to close with a very, very strong warning. So those in the chapel, everyone who is married, and those who are single, who will one day be married, if that's what God wants for you, and all those that are listening live, whether it be the radio or through live stream, he who hath ears to hear what the Spirit of God, the living Word of God is about to say, I pray that you truly listen to it. But this is a stern, solemn warning from Almighty God. And he says here, he says that your prayers may not be hindered. Husband, wife, listen very carefully. Look what this says again. It doesn't say that his prayers are going to be hindered. It doesn't say that her prayers are going to be hindered. It says your prayers, both of your prayers. Wow. So Peter assumed here, number one, that a husband and wife, they all have, of course, a private time to pray individually, alone, but they also come together and pray together. So when it says that your prayers be not hindered, the word hindered means, it means to cut in on, okay? And it's like if you grew up when I was a teenager, where I grew up, we didn't have single telephone lines, we had party lines. Remember? And so we shared a phone with about four different families, all right? So I'd be on the phone talking to my girlfriend or whatnot, and then all of a sudden somebody would cut in and say, how long are you going to be on the phone? So they cut in. They stopped my voice going to the other party. And so the other party couldn't hear me anymore. They cut right in. Well, that's what that word right there means. It's a military term, too. It means like if you have an advancing army, and here they come, and they're your enemy, and what you do, and they're on that road, you go and you cut in a trench that when they try to cross it, they can't cross it because you have cut it in. Now, listen carefully. This is very, very important. Husbands, I pray in Jesus' name you listen right now. How powerful is your weaker vessel, your wife. How powerful is she? Boy, she's actually here. She's stronger than you. She's stronger than you, and God is on her side. What do you mean, Bill? God says if you don't honor your wife, that word honor means to treat like treasure. If you don't treat her like a precious treasure, then you're in trouble because your wife is my daughter. I have adopted her. She is a child of God. She belongs to me. I chose her in my son before creation ever existed. And not only that, she is my purchased possession. She belongs to me. This is a stewardship issue, man. That's my daughter, and don't you dare treat her unlovely. You honor her. If not, your prayers are going to be cut off. Ooh, now listen to me. You cannot be right with God and not be right with your wife. Wives, You cannot be right with God and not be right with your husband. You pray all you want to pray, but God says, no, I love you. I love you both so much, but you know, wife, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Or husband, if you're going to treat her like that, if you're going to verbally abuse her, whatever you might do, if you don't treat her God's way, he says, I love you both because my son paid the price for you, but I'm going to discipline you, and I discipline or chasten those that I love. Amen? And it hurts me. I know God says it hurts me not to answer your prayer. It hurts me, but I can't, because you're treating each other or vice versa, whatever it is, the wrong way. Now listen to me. If you do not honor your wife, if you don't honor your husband, because it's both of you here, I'm telling you something. If you don't do it God's way, you will rob yourselves. And for you to be cut in or hindered, that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants that desperately in your marriage. He hates your marriage. He hates you. He hates that you're made in the image of God. He wants everything to be removed. So he wants to cut in and cut you off from answered prayer. Why did it happen? Because of one reason. There you are, and you're not doing what God says, treating your wife or vice versa the right way. And then an emotional breach happens between the two of you. And that is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Give no door or give no opportunity to the devil. If you do that, I'm telling you, he is so happy, because you know what you do? When that happens, you've opened a door for the devil, and now into your marriage, you've given him permission, wife, or you've given him permission, husband. You've given the devil permission, think about it, to come in and cut a trench and stop you, your prayers, from being answered. That's why this verse is so powerful. You know, only God knows, loved one, listen, only God knows how many Christian wives and Christian husbands live in the same house, under the same roof, but they are emotionally divorced already in their hearts. That's horrible. God doesn't want that for you. In other words, maybe you're married, but you're miserable. Married and miserable. Just think, that means all of your married life is going to be that way all of your life. You've got to be careful. That's why both of you need submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, because that means you're both going to obey the word of God. Let me give you another door the devil loves to walk into from chapter 7 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:3. Let me read it to you. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. We're talking about intimacy in the bedroom. It says, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Okay, vice versa. The wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband doesn't have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Okay, now, husband, does that mean that you demand to go into the bedroom? We're talking about sex, okay? S-E-X, you know what that means? Does it mean, you heard what you're going to, I am getting a law. No, you're not reading your wife. You don't dwell with her with understanding right there at all. And wives, it doesn't mean that you used your body as a tool for manipulating your husband. God, that felt good. No. And then what Paul, listen to what Paul does now through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to give a command. Let me read it to you. Do not, here's the command, do not deprive one another. Don't do that. It's a command. Don't deprive one another except, that's a big word, except with consent. That means both of you, here you are, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That means you are mutually submitting to one another. Hey, no, we're going to kind of lay off for a while. It says, do not deprive one another with consent for a time. That means a specified time. We're going to, for 7 days or whatnot, we're okay, but not 7 years. You know what I mean? I'm going to go on a spiritual quest for 5 years. No, that's not what that means. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Why? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So it's for spiritual reasons, not for selfish reasons. You're not going to, don't touch me. It says, and come together again. Now listen to why Paul says that. He says, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Listen to me now. You shut the bedroom door to your mate, you are then doing something. You are opening a door for the wicked one to come in and tempt your husband or to tempt you. And believe me, he knows exactly how to put people across your path to say the exact right things. Because see, if you have an emotional breach in your marriage and it's not being fulfilled, you're going to go, it'll finally, he knows that, and he'll bring someone that will try to fulfill it for you. Oh, he's subtle. You've got to take God's word at it. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, it says, listen, rejoice with the wife of your youth. And that doesn't stop when you're young. Keep on rejoicing with the wife of your youth. You know, I told the early service, I said, listen, my wife and I, when I met her, she walked into the church and I locked my eyes on her. I've never forgotten that. I mean, you've heard of being slain in the spirit? Man, I mean, I got weak in the knees. And man, I saw her and I mean, I started drooling and didn't say a word to her. She just looked at me like, oh my God, is this a visitor in the church? And I was. But you know what happened? Y'all know that. 7 days later, we married. 7 days. And for over 45 years, going toward, you know, we're heading toward the 50 mark, man. We've been living together, learning each other, and growing in oneness because we are one flesh. And that happens, loved one, through ups and downs, good days, bad days. We have faced plenty together. We've faced poverty together. We've faced cancer together. We have argued together. But I can honestly tell you that our arguments have been so few, I don't even remember what we argued about ever. That's something that's almost unheard of in our home. But through it all, everything that we faced, we went to the Word of God, and the Lord was with us. We did it His way. We're not doing it our way. Do you understand? When I do it my way, I fail. But when I do it His way, I always win. You're going to get old. And when you get old, you're going to experience every decade a new emotion. Your kids are born. Your kids grow up. You drop them off at college. Ooh, that kills you. Another emotion. Hey, grandchildren. All these things. And you go through life, but don't get set in your ways. Don't get old and be set in your ways. Get old and be set in God's ways. Amen? Then you're going to walk through life the way you're supposed to do so. Life goes quickly, man. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain, that means empty life. It is empty here. This is not where we belong. Now listen to me. If the rapture doesn't happen in my lifetime, if the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church, doesn't happen in your lifetime, I'm speaking primarily right now to husbands and wives. You're going to get old, and one of you will bury each other. That's what's going to happen. Don't you think that you should take what you have and live? Live and love one another God's way. Have a marriage that is God's way. Oh, listen. Build your life together God's way, because that is the best way. Can I just encourage you to be obedient? Treat each other like treasure. You're in the perfect will of God when you do that. Did you know that? And your prayers will not be hindered. But if you don't, if you're verbally abusive, if you beat down your mate, God will correct you. And you will be miserable in your living and miserable in your heart. You're not of the world. You're a new creation in Christ. Listen to me. In my own personal life, when that scripture became living in me and I understood it, it changed everything in my heart. You see, women, listen to me, ladies, I say this in love right now. When a girl grows up, that's why, if you'll notice, children come to my office all the time. I have, of course, lollipops, that's why they come. But I have dolls in there. I have all kinds of stuff because I love children. And I always tell them, whether boys or girls, you are the most handsome. Oh, you're handsome. You know, I mean, I even told JT, we had breakfast lunch yesterday, that member of all the leadership. I said, anybody ever tell you you have Paul Newman's eyes? He's a man. He's also a police officer. You don't talk to cops that way, okay? Now, and I tell the little girls, I said, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're beautiful. But a lot of times when girls grow up, they're not told that. They don't see a father that treats the wife like treasure. And they grow up and they think, I've got to act this way, especially today with social media. I've got to look this way. I've got to have this kind of body, this kind of hair, this kind of everything. And then I'll be loved and then I'll be accepted. And so they grow up and they become teenagers. And so they date this guy and he's like teenagers are. They lie. He only wants one thing from her. But he'll tell her anything to get that one thing. You know what I'm saying? So as the years go by, what happens? Man after man after man, if that's the way it is in some of your lives, they hurt her. They wound her. And so she wants to be loved because God made her to be loved. But she has to protect her heart. So what does she do? She puts brick after brick after brick that other men have made. Could be fathers, stepfathers, boyfriend, whatever. It could be the husband that left her. And now she wants to love because God made her to love and to be loved. That's why she's called a vessel. A vessel is something that contains something inside, and it's her heart. And so there you go, and you get married. And she wants to give you all of her heart, but she can't because she's had so much trust issues with men. In the late 60s, I was in Paris. I lived in Europe. I've always wanted to see the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. I go into the Louvre, and the Mona Lisa is in one gigantic room. I don't know how it is today. One room, the guards were there with their little rifles and the hats and all that. And there was one light in this gigantic room. On the Mona Lisa, and a red velvet thing where it'd stop you, couldn't, you know what I mean? Now, men, listen to me, and wives, listen to me. Your wife, if you're going to treat her like treasure, you have to know that she is a treasure. So let's look down here, and there's one light right now shining straight down beside me, and that light is shining on a treasure chest, but the lid is closed. That's her heart. And you open that up and you go, oh my gosh, why can't I have all that? I mean, look at the diamonds and the gold and the rubies and all those things. And she goes, I want to give them to you, but I can't give them to you because I don't know how because of the bricks. Listen to me now, men. The Word of God is a spiritual sledgehammer. You do what God says and you treat her like treasure. And you know what you're going to do? One by one by one, all those bricks come down. And no one can remove them but you, the husband. Don't ask the wife to do it. You got to trust me. No. You've got to do it. You've got to remove them yourself. And you know how you do it? You dwell with her with understanding. You honor her. You honor your wife. You treat her as treasure. And then here's what happens. All of a sudden, the lid of the treasure chest, you see all the gold, the silver, meeting her heart. And she, all of a sudden, you start getting that and this and that. And you know what happens? Your marriage explodes. It explodes. Why? You're doing marriage God's way. God created your wife. Listen to me. God created your wife and your husband. But I'm talking about created your wife to be loved. Only one way. Only one way. With the highest love in the universe. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. There's no higher love than that. And God created her only to be loved like that. If you love her with... Ephesians 5:25 is a command. Why would God command you to love your wife when you married her? I love her. That's why I married her. Because God is saying, your love is not good enough. I created her to be loved my way, not your way. And when you do things God's way, man, you will always have the victory. Yes, it takes two to tango. Yes, your wife has to be obedient. And yes, you have to be obedient. But when you do it God's way, I'm telling you, that trench that's been cut, it's filled in. And you walk across it, you walk right over the devil. Do you understand? You walk right. Because what? See, a house divided can't stand. But God says, you do it my way. I'll fill that trench in. I'll answer your prayers. I'll give you a marriage that you have never, ever had. That's what God does when you obey him. Is your marriage in trouble? Are your prayers not being answered? Are you miserable in your marriage? God says, I'll fix it. I'll fix it right now. I created you. I created marriage. I made you one. I'll fix it if you'll come to me. If you'll give your marriage back to me. If you will let Jesus be the Lord of your marriage now, If you will love your wife the right way, if just obey me, I gave you the Holy Spirit. You have all the power you need. You have all the grace you need. And I've given you the ammunition. It's the Word of God. If you do it His way, but you have to come to Him. You have to give your marriage to Him. And then you have to do what God says. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your wife. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with your husband. But you can be right if you will come to Him to heal your marriage. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Today, the Holy Spirit says, today, that's an urgent word, today, right now, this minute, today, if you will hear His voice and not harden your heart, God will do something. But it's today, not when you leave, not when you get home. It's right now. If your marriage is in trouble, will you lift your hand as our heads are bowed? Will you lift your hands up to God and say, I want my marriage. I need my marriage restored. Just, yes, that's right. Yes, just lift it. Yes, that's right. Be a man. Be a godly man if you know it. Lift that hand because this is your day. Yes, this is your moment. If you pass this day up, it may never come again. Father, you see the hands, the hearts. You know, you see those online. You see them listening on the radio. You know who they are. You know everything about all of it, Lord. Would you visit us now? Lord, please. The creator of male and female. The creator of marriage. The creator that made us one. Would you fall upon your sheep? Would you heal any of the marriages? Lord, you know who they are. And make them whole. I believe, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill continues his series in 1 Peter on our next Sunday broadcast. And we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen. We appreciate you listening with us today. Be blessed this week, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.